Brian, the lead pastor here at Overflow. And I got to tell you, to be back just even in this moment with a few of our folks that are worshiping with us here in the building. As Pastor Joel said, we are excited to be able to regather in the near future. And this is phase one. And today we are talking about this idea of the bridge. And as we lean into this, I believe Jesus has something to say to us, because this, as many of us know, is a moment in our history, a moment in culture where God is allowing things that none of us could have anticipated, none of us would have asked for, but he's in the middle of it. I am telling you that I fully believe that our God is still in control. And in his control, he is sovereignly allowing things that we are yet to make sense of, that we're yet to make sense of. COVID-19, a global pandemic, economic shutdown, economic loss, the life of loss, the situation we find ourselves in as our country and our world wakes up to the fact that Black lives matter. This is a moment in time our world will never be the same. And we as Christ followers have an opportunity to look at who Jesus is, to look at who he is, and to say he is the moral authority. He is the one we are following, and he has something to say about anything and everything that we face and go through. And so I just want to encourage you today. This message is here to meet you right where you're at, to both encourage you, to equip you, and also to empower you for such a time as this, because this can be the church's finest hour. If we will listen to what Jesus said, and if we will respond with a yes and an amen. In fact, maybe you could do that right now online, is respond with a yes and an amen. As we turn to God's word, as we get ready to get into it in Matthew chapter 5, I just want to begin by saying that we need someone to turn to right now. We need to turn to a moral compass, a moral authority, a moral leader. And in fact, the Sermon on the Mount and what Jesus taught us is one of those things that if we'll listen, he is the answer. He is the bridge. And many of us are asking, how do we go from one season to the next? How do we enter into the pain and the suffering and find healing? How do we enter into a world that seems so divided, so broken, so polarized? And let me tell you, Jesus did it, and Jesus will do it again. He is the bridge. Let me pray for us as we dive in. Father, we love you and praise you. Thank you for such a spirit-led time of worship together. Thank you for the reminder in the face of everything that is going on in our world that you are in control, that you are allowing things that seem like it's chaos and out of control because you are orchestrating something new. And Father, we want to hear from you today. We want to hear from your word. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would have your way and move among us. That, Father, we could hear what you say and apply it. God, I pray that this won't just be a moment, but a movement. I believe our world and our country will never be the same, and that the church should be at the forefront of that. So lead us, that we can help lead others. And thank you, Jesus, for being the bridge. In your name, we say amen. 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 So as we get into this, and as we think about the bridge, what is the image or the thought that comes to mind for you? As you're online right now, we have live hosts. Comment. Drop a comment. What is the image that comes to mind when you think of the phrase, the bridge? For me, I go back to childhood, one of the first times I had encountered a bridge that was of significance. I grew up in Michigan on Lake Huron, and we were near Port Huron, and there was a bridge, the Blue Water Bridge, that connected our community, our country, to Canada. The bridge connected, and I remember just always being in awe of that, how amazing that was. And what we see here from Jesus is he's going to describe for his disciples something that can only be called the bridge. You see, they had been listening to Jesus on the side of this hill, this mount, if you will. And as they're listening, I'm sure part of them is excited. He's teaching them about a new way. He's teaching them about a new day. He's saying the kingdom is here. Here's what it looks like. But I also got to believe there's a part of them that was hearing what Jesus said and almost maybe like you are right now, feeling a little bit tired, a little bit exhausted, a little bit like, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to respond in those ways. It sounds good, but how do we actually fulfill that? And this is where we pick up today in verse 17. Don't misunderstand why I have come, Jesus said. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. So if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys God's law and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. But I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of the religious law and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Mic drop. What a moment where Jesus says, hey, you've heard, and let me tell you that I've fulfilled it. In fact, what was Jesus about is what we're going to first look at here. What was Jesus about? Because he says that he's come in verse 17 to fulfill the writings of the prophet and to accomplish their purpose. You see, for some of us, we need to be reminded that God has authored Scripture. He's divinely inspired it through people. That in fact, over a 1,500-year history, the 39 books of the Old Testament, the 27 books of the New Testament, make up God's cohesive covenant to his people. That yes, there's an Old Testament and covenant, but it's fulfilled by the new covenant with Jesus. He didn't come to get rid of that. He came to fulfill it. And so what happens here is Jesus says, I've come to fulfill the writings of the prophets, which are in the Old Testament. Let me just share with you that when Jesus showed up on the scene, when he began teaching, he actually arrived at a synagogue, and in Luke chapter 4, he stands up and he reads from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And this is a powerful moment because he's declaring what he's about. And here's what Jesus is about, picking up in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." Did you catch it? Did you catch what Jesus is about? Because Jesus is saying, I'm about the poor. I'm about the captive. I'm about the blind. I'm about the oppressed. I'm here to bring the year of the Lord's favor. It is powerful to think about what that might mean for us right now in this moment in time to be able to hear Jesus saying that I'm about helping the poor and marginalized, that I have a special heart for them, that I'm here for them, that I'm here for the poor in spirit, but also here for those that are physically poor. Some of you may have experienced poverty, or you may be living in it, or you have fears of it because of job loss that may be coming. Jesus is about that and is about you. Secondly, he's about the captive. He's about setting us free. He's about stepping into moments in time and into culture and into what we're experiencing in our world and saying, enough is enough. I'm here to set you free. I'm here to set the captives free. And he sets us free by opening our eyes. It says that he's here to heal the blind. And I believe that's both physically and spiritually. That for many of us, our eyes are opening for the first time to see our brothers and sisters that have been created in the image of God, that are African American, that have not breathed the same air we breathe or been treated the same way we've been treated as a Caucasian person. That in fact, God's opening our eyes. And so can we embrace that that's what Jesus is about? Come on, church. Give me an amen or a hallelujah online. Let me know that you're with me in this. Because this is what Jesus is about. He also said, I'm about the freeing the oppressed. And this is incredibly timely in the season we're in to realize that Jesus wants to build a bridge, a redemptive bridge of lift, if you will. That lifts all of us as sons and daughters created in the image of God. that he wants to give his special favor to every son and daughter. And for those that have been oppressed and held down and held back by systemic issues in our society, racism and bias and injustices, he's here to lift. Jesus is the bridge, church. Jesus is the bridge. And he goes on in verse 18 to say this: I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. You see, he addresses the fulfillment of the prophets being the bridge. He also addresses the fulfillment of the law and being the bridge. In the Old Testament, one of the most famous passages would be the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. And what you have there is four verses that begin it that speak to the reality of our vertical relationship with God. That in fact, we have this vertical relationship with God where he loves us and we love him. That's a part of the law. But it's also then the next six commandments, six verses that move us horizontally. That remind us that it's not just about loving God, but it's about loving others and living as Jesus would. That's incredibly timely and important right now, because when Jesus was asked by a young lawyer later in the Gospels, well, sum up the law, Jesus summed it up by saying, love God and love your neighbor. And that young lawyer looked at him and said, well, who's my neighbor? He was trying to get out of loving people that were not like him. Can we hear what Jesus is saying to us in this season? We may wish he didn't say it, but the fulfillment of loving God and loving our neighbor is found in Jesus. He is the bridge. He moves us from me to we. Say it with me, from me to we. That in fact, he meets us in a relationship with him, but it's no longer about us. It's about the family of God. It's about we. Ephesians 2, verses 14 through 18, we're going to kind of work backwards through a few verses in Ephesians where the Apostle Paul describes the church, describes what this looks like to be a part of the we. Picking up in verse 14, for Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people, say one, when in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles, which if you think there was a divide today, theirs was even deeper. It says, by creating in himself one new people from the two groups, together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other was put to death. This is the good news of the gospel, friends. And it says in verse 17, he brought the good news of peace to you Gentiles who are far away from him, and the peace to the Jews who are near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. That is incredibly good news, that Jesus is the bridge that then allows the Holy Spirit to enter into our lives, breaks down the walls of hostility between us and others. Can you see the implications for today? Maybe, church, we need to get out of the flesh and more in the Spirit in this season. Maybe what God is saying to us is, I can do it. I can be the bridge in and through you if you'll let the Spirit have its way. If you'll not hide your flesh and be afraid, but allow God to move and to be who he wants to be in your life and through your life. Because you see, Jesus uses us to build bridges through him. Verse 19, Jesus said this: so if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys God's law and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. You see, how Jesus uses us to build bridges through him is by you and I embracing that it's not just about our belief in God, it's our conviction to obey God. It's not that it's just we hear God, it's that we do what God is telling us to do. He's saying to be in my kingdom is to obey me and teach others, to share everything that I've taught. How are we doing with that? How are you doing with being obedient to God in this season and sharing the good news with others? Many of the things we've come accustomed to and used to have been stripped away and pulled away, and I believe God is allowing it because he's looking for a people that will say, hey, I am a part of the church. It is about we, and we are going to stand and rise and obey Jesus and share him with others. I want to encourage you and empower you today, church, because I believe God has great plans ahead for us. You see, he said in verse 19 that they would be called the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And you need to understand that when we look at earthly governments, when we look at the rise and fall of empires and nations and governments over our history, we realize that when Jesus came, he didn't come to establish another government. He came to establish the kingdom of God. And that kingdom is his reign and rule. That kingdom reigns and rules in the hearts of believers who are coming together with him and with others and are allowing him to have his way. Are we ready to experience the kingdom of heaven? Jesus prayed for heaven on earth. And I believe as we obey him and as we share him, we have an opportunity to experience that on earth. Ephesians 2:10 says this, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It says, we are God's masterpiece. You may not feel like a work of art. You may not feel like his workmanship right now. But Christ teaches us that we are his masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. Did you know that God has a plan and a purpose for you? And that in this season, he wants to begin to show you, I believe, what some of that is, to walk you in to those good works, to be used to build bridges through Jesus. Verse 20, Jesus goes on, and this is where we'll finish in Matthew 5 today. In verse 20, it says this, but I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Gulp. Do you recognize what he's saying here? He's saying to us, listen, if you're not better than the best, you aren't getting in. He's pointing to the religious leaders of that day. Pharisees are what many of them were called. They had, in fact, taken God's law and added more than 6,000 details and specificity and nuances to God's law. They were, by all accounts, fairly righteous. And Jesus is saying, if you're not as good as them, you aren't getting in. Now, there's some good news coming, but let me just unpack this for you for a minute, because to be better than the best without Jesus is impossible. I love basketball. I grew up, it was my passion, it was my drive. I played other sports, but basketball was the sport that I just absolutely loved. And so genetically, I'm a Caucasian man, and I want to just dispel any rumors here for you, because white men can jump, this white man couldn't, all right? I come from a family where my dad was 5'8", is 5'8", and he could dunk in his high school years and 20s. He could jump. My brother is a little over 5'9 and was a pole vaulting champion. The genetics didn't get to me. I'm 6 foot or so, and I could get up to the rim, but I couldn't dunk. And I wanted to get to that next level. I wanted to get to that place of what I felt was the next rung, if you will. And so I picked up these things called the strength shoes. And some of you may remember these. This is an old photo. This is the actual kit. These things looked ridiculous. I put them on my feet, and I worked out so hard between my junior and senior year in high school trying to get to that place where I could dunk. Now, I got a little bit quicker, and I got a little bit higher on the rim, but I never got to that place where I could dunk. And I want to tell you that later in my 20s, due to these, I believe, and poor stretching, I had to have varicose vein surgery on both legs to correct what was wrong. And here's what I want to say to you today. Are you trying to be religious or right in your own strength? Are you trying to get to that next place on your own because we weren't designed to and it isn't going to work? And some of the exhaustion you're feeling may be because Jesus is ready to enter in. Jesus is ready to give you more than you could do on your own. Ephesians 2:8-9 says this, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. You see, I know what a joke I was and am. I know how much I fall short, how much I need Jesus. Do you? Are you able to own it and to recognize it and to say, I can't be better than the best without Jesus, because he is that bridge and he's ready today to offer us each that gift of life. Jesus takes us as we are and he bridges us to new life. I just submit to you today that that's what we each need individually and collectively more than ever. In Ephesians 2, 4 through 7, to close this portion of the message, here's what it says. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much, that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ Jesus. And remember, it's not just you. It's brothers and sisters in the family of God, united by Christ, that don't look like you, but they are elevated into the heavenly realms just like you. So God can point us to us all in future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. We aren't good enough, but Jesus is more than enough, and he takes us just as we are. One of the things I love about being a pastor here at Overflow Church is that I'm blessed to serve on a diverse team and a diverse church. And so right now, I want to bring up Pastor Joel, our worship pastor, Pastor Jarvis, our youth pastor, and we want to take a minute to just share with you a couple of thoughts around how Jesus has been a bridge for our lives personally and how he's giving us hope to be the bridge in this season. We hope this time, as we share with you, encourages you. You were ready. He was ready to grab that from me. Did you see that? And so as we share with you, we hope that this time puts a little bit of reality for each of us, that we can connect with what we're about to share and say. And so as we share with you, I'm going to turn it over first to Pastor Joel. And I got to tell you, I'm so encouraged and humbled to serve with the team we have here and with these men of God. And so...
Guys, this isn't 6 feet.
Let's spread out. There we go. Well done. Well done.
Thank you.
All right. So, tell us a little bit. We'll kind of go across the line with the question first. How has Jesus been the bridge in your life?
Yeah, Jesus has been, Jesus has been the bridge in my life for sure, in so many different ways. But for me, at least, I remember when I was about 12 or 13 years old that I decided to get baptized and fully give my life over to Jesus. And even thinking of that moment, man, I can already see Jesus being a bridge from life, or from death to life, and from sin to being forgiven and washed clean. And that's how Jesus has been a bridge to me in my life, in my journey. There's been so many times that I've found myself in anxiety and depression and loss and just not knowing what to do. And every time that I reach out to Jesus, he's been just like, when think of a bridge that it goes down and it connects you from here to here. God has connected me to his greater purpose for my life and has connected me with his Holy Spirit. And I love that. I love that Jesus can do that for me. And I've made the decision to follow him.
Yeah, man, that's good. Can y'all hear me? Check.
Check 1, 2, yeah.
Oh, all right, there we go,
Mine's low.
Yeah, it's all good. Hey, appreciate the question. So I'm just going to hit a couple points. Jesus has been the bridge in my life because of the gospel, So I was saying early on that, you know, whenever I think about just what he's done for me and how I've gotten to where I am now, in return, I just think of, like, man, if I'm sitting at a table with people and I'm wanting to, you know, just like get close to them and be able to just like hang out and like converse with them, I'm always looking to put Jesus on display, whether it be a long-term relationship or it's just like this short interaction that I have with someone. I'm always looking for ways that like, you know, hey man, how can I put Jesus on display? Personally, he's been a bridge in my life just through the gospel, man. When I think about the person that I was before, I had a little rough upbringing. It hasn't been like all bad and it hasn't been all good, but I think like I think of moments when God has really showed reconciliation through relationships that I've had and just like the power of the gospel. So like, you know, messed up person, you know, he comes in, he cleans me up, he gives me a new nature, gives me a new mindset, and he just like, he puts me on solid ground again, because I was sinking. He puts me on solid ground again and says, okay, here, now you can be, through the power of the gospel and the Holy Spirit, now you can be a bridge to get people to come and see and taste of who I am. So
That's good. So I'm going to share not as Pastor Brian, but as Brian the Christ follower. So I'm going to take that hat off for a minute. And yeah, very similar for me. You know, I look back at around age 19 where I was. And in many ways, I was on a path of destruction. You know, I've shared my story before, but the core of it is I was so hopeless and so caught up in fighting the demons of alcohol and alcoholism that have plagued our family. That I had got to a place where I had hit rock bottom and was suicidal. And I look back and I realize, like, when I read Ephesians 2:1 and it says, I brought you from death to life, that's truly my story. That's what God did. Amen. Is he bridged me. I said earlier, you know, without Jesus, I'm a joke. And that is the absolute truth. It's still true today. I don't feel like there's anything good in me apart from what you get from him. And so, you know, he gets the glory in that way and has made such a difference in my life. And I hope for anybody out there that maybe the pandemic or the unrest or even just the oppression that you've experienced has got you hopeless. Let me tell you, Jesus is ready to rush in and to give you hope and life today and to bridge you to a new future. So I started to preach again. I better stop.
Let's go.
So second question would be, how is Jesus showing up as the bridge in what we're all experiencing? How are you finding hope in him as the bridge right now?
Yeah, I mean, for me at least, I'm a Latino man. I'm born in Puerto Rico, and I've been fortunate enough, I've been blessed enough to be a part of just so many different church cultures and contexts. I grew up mainly in a Spanish Pentecostal kind of Assemblies of God movement, predominantly Latinos, and then God transitioned me into an all white, all Caucasian Southern Baptist community, which I love so much, and then moved over to another similar context, and now I'm here at Overflow Church in a multi-ethnic, multicultural church that is such a beautiful picture of what I believe heaven is going to look like. And that's not to knock the other churches that I've been a part of. They've been great, and they had their just different culture, and I love it. But I think having gone through that journey, I think it's allowed me to see so many different sides that I've even in times been a part of a lot of conversations, and I've been almost the bridge, maybe because I'm kind of a halfway point. I'm a Latino, so maybe I've been able to kind of mediate all sides. Is that okay to say? Is that
I have no idea, but you said it, not me.
I said it. All right. I'm going to own it. It's all right. All right. If you got a problem, I'm kidding. I love y'all so much. So yes, I've been a part of so many cool conversations where I've kind of sat in the middle and helped bridge a gap, and even moving to this community, I had my roommate who is now moved away, but my roommate, another Latino man, and God used us to come together and bridge two churches in one. And I've met so many other people through that that become friends from other churches in the community that are different. So my hope even is that God would utilize me in this time to be a bridge of some sort to help move death things back to life, and you know, just to help with conversations. I'm not one that's opposed to tough conversations, so if I can help in that, all glory to God.
For sure. Hey, appreciate you sharing that, Pastor Joel. I think what you just said, all I can think of is like how God created everyone in his image, right? And so your story is a beautiful picture of, and your pursuits, should I say, your pursuits and your journey is a beautiful picture of what we got here on the stage. It's not about blacks necessarily, or about whites, or yellow people, or whatever, whatever the issue may be. I will highlight just for the sake of like being real with y'all, like Black lives do matter. I think that is the reason why this whole mess is even worldwide. You know what I mean? But I wanted to say to your point that, like, God did not just create one race superior over the other. He created the human race. We are all created in his image. We're image bearers, as some of the language has been nowadays. And I want to just say that the way that God is using me, to be a bridge to the community and to my family is that, you know, I've been in different circles of people as well. And I've taken the time to listen, to educate myself, and not just have this tunnel vision mindset of like, we struggled for so long and this and that. You know, I have an open mind and recognize that without the gospel, there is no racial reconciliation. It's just not going to happen. And I know that's kind of a cliche thing that like a lot of people are kind of, they're against what the church is saying and not saying, but I'm saying from this church at Overflow Church, we are about racial reconciliation. Yeah. We're about all people, all colors, all backgrounds, and we're not about, just because the way that history is, it's going to stay this way. No, like, we recognize that there's a problem. We're going to talk about it. We're going to have these conversations and point you to the bridge, like Jesus being the bridge, and he is the only one that can restore all of this mess that we're all going through. Don't get me started. But
we did, and it's great. That's
but listen, y'all, it's about racial reconciliation. It's about the gospel. It's about how it just has the power to make things right. It's about how that just, I'm just going in.
Yeah.
Come on, y'all.
Can you put the praise but yeah,
high
emoji?
Amen, high amen. But yeah,
fire
like,
emoji.
Like, but to end what I'm saying, I've had to have tough conversations with my kids. I have a 6-year-old, I have a 4-year-old, I have a one that's younger than that. But I've had to have these tough conversations, and practically God is using me as a bridge to be able to have that. Have a right mindset, have those conversations, and be able to talk to my brothers and my sisters, no matter what color you are. So,
amen, yeah. Amen.
I got a lot to say.
Ooh, you do, and it's great. And it's, yeah, this is who we are, right? This is who Jesus is in us. And, I just want to share, from my end, I'll never forget 20 years ago, literally 20 years ago this year, sitting in a church, as they shared an interview between an African American pastor and a white man, and as it unfolded, it was almost like God's hand just like reached out and rested on me in that pew, and the Holy Spirit said, "You've got some issues, son. You've got some issues, son," and I knew immediately what he meant—that there was some bias, some prejudice, some things that I maybe had never acknowledged or wasn't aware of. And he said, "I'm going to take you on a journey." And I'm here to tell you, I had no idea 20 years ago what God would do and what he's done. But I just want to encourage any of you at home right now, there is an awakening happening. And yeah. I believe in the middle of it, the Holy Spirit is working and waking many of us up to things we've just missed or dismissed about our brothers and sisters. And I want to tell you not to, if you're hearing a voice of condemnation, that's the voice of a lie from the enemy.
Absolutely.
Because what Jesus does is with love, he exposes with light and love the truth, and the Holy Spirit convicts us. Right. And I got to tell you, the best decision, one of the best decisions I've made was 20 years ago, saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to obey you. I'm going to go on this journey. Good. And so I just want to encourage any of you in that way. We're going to transition. I'm going to put my pastor hat back on for a minute because it's the first Sunday of the month, and around here, the first Sunday of the month, we receive communion together, and we're going to do that together today in a pretty cool way because as you've heard from us, we also want to stand in solidarity and just receive communion together with you. And so hopefully you've had a chance to get, you know, crackers or juice or bread, whatever you may have available. And we want to encourage you to get those elements ready right now as we are. The amazing thing about Jesus is he bridges us into a relationship with him and with our brothers and sisters. And so, again, the church's finest hour could be now in America and globally if we'll understand what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And so when we receive communion, we're taking the cracker, the wafer, the bread, whatever you may have, and it's symbolizing Jesus' body that was broken for us on the cross. As we read today, that body breaks down all of the walls, the walls of sin between us and him, sin between each other, racial hostility. Jesus bridges that. His blood is symbolized by the juice, and that's his atoning sacrifice for our sins. It's the atonement, his blood that forgives us and washes over us, enters into our life. And here's what communion needs to mean for us today. And I just want to be really bold with this. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11 to not receive the elements without examining ourselves. And so I want to encourage you, wherever you're out, take a moment with the Lord. Take a moment and say, God, I got some things that I need you to root out, some things I need to repent of. You know, that word repentance, we don't like it, but what it means is not just to confess and ask for forgiveness, but to do a 180 and to go a new way. We need a bunch of 180s in this season. And as we come to receive communion, as we do that, he renews us, and then there's rejoicing and celebration. And so we're going to receive this together right now in this moment. And I just want to remind you, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's your starting point today. We have online live hosts that would love to interact with you. Just hit the banner or the button or comment, hey, I'd like to receive Jesus. And they would love to interact with you and pray with you. Right now, if you've got your elements ready, let's receive communion together. I'll pray and then we'll receive it. Father God, we are humbled by what you are doing. I thank you for these men of God that I get to stand with, Pastor Joel and Pastor Jarvis. I thank you for the team here at Overflow. And God, we really believe that we are learning how deeply you love us and how deeply you want us to love one another. Father, we come to you now and ask for forgiveness for our sins, the sins that I've committed, the sins that we've committed, both in the church with our silence at times and in our country by our denial. So, Father, I'm asking at home and wherever people see this that they would examine themselves, not be afraid to confess because you want to bring streams of refreshing and healing into their life. So as we receive your body that was broken and your juice, the juice that reminds us of your blood that was shed, may it just wash over us and begin a healing work of renewal and revival in your church. Jesus, you are the bridge and you are so good. And we give you all the glory and honor today. In Jesus' name, amen.